This is one third of life. The Sleep Time Podcast. For when you're wrapped up in all of life's little problems and you simply can't unwind, this is the companion that will talk you to sleep. The music we are listening to on this episode is titled At the Edges of Sleep by Lee Rosevere. After the rise of a hero cult, Gods and heroes constitute the sacral sphere and are invoked together in oaths and prayers which are addressed to them. Buckert notes that the roster of heroes, again in contrast to the gods, is never given fixed and final form. Great gods are no longer born, but new heroes can always be raised up from the army of the dead. Another important difference between the hero cult and the cult of gods is that the hero becomes the center of local group identity. The monumental events of Heracles are regarded as the dawn of the age of heroes. To the heroic age are also ascribed three great events: the Argonautic expedition, the Theban cycle, and the Trojan War. End provided much material for tragedy. Heracles is regarded by Thalia Papadopoulou as a play of great significance in examination of other Euripidean dramas. In art and literature, Heracles was represented as an enormously strong man of moderate height. His characteristic weapon was the bow, but frequently also the club. Vase paintings demonstrate the unparalleled popularity of Heracles, his fight with the lion being depicted many hundreds of times. Also entered Etruscan and Roman mythology and cult, and the exclamation Mehercule became as familiar to the Romans as Heracles was to the Greeks. In Italy, he was worshipped as a god of merchants and traders, although others also prayed to him for his characteristic gifts of good luck or rescue from danger. Heracles attained the highest social prestige through his appointment as official ancestor of the Dorian kings. This probably served as a legitimation for the Dorian migrations into the Peloponnese. Hylas, the eponymous hero of one Dorian file, became the son of Heracles and one of the Heraclidae, or Heraclids, which were the numerous descendants of Heracles, especially the descendants of Hylas. Other Heraclidae included Macaria, Lamos, Manto, Bianor, Ptolemus, and Telephus. These Heraclids conquered the Peloponnesian kingdoms of Mycenae, Sparta, and Argos, claiming, according to legend, a right to rule them through their ancestor. Their rise to dominance is frequently called the Dorian Invasion. The Lydian and later Macedonian kings, as rulers of the same rank, also became Heraclidae. Surviving Hellenistic epic, the Argonautica of Apollonius of Rhodes, an epic poet, scholar, and director of the Library of Alexandria, tells the myth of the voyage of Jason and the Argonauts to retrieve the Golden Fleece from the mythical land of Colchis. In the Argonautica, Jason is impelled on his quest by King Peleus, who receives a prophecy that a man with one sandal would be his nemesis. Jason loses a sandal in a river arrives at the court of Peleus, and the epic is set in motion. Nearly every member of the next generation of heroes, as well as Heracles, went with Jason in the ship Argo to fetch the Golden Fleece. This generation also included Theseus, who went to Crete to slay the Minotaur. Atalanta, the female heroine, and Meleaga, who once had an epic cycle of his own to rival the Iliad and Odyssey. Pindar, Apollonius, and the Bibliotheca endeavor to give full lists of the Argonauts. Although Apollonius wrote his poem in the 3rd century BC, the composition of the story of the Argonauts is earlier than Odyssey, which shows familiarity with the exploits of Jason. The wandering of Odysseus may have been partly founded on it. In ancient times, the expedition was regarded as a historical fact, an incident in the opening up of the Black Sea to Greek commerce and colonization. It was also extremely popular, forming a cycle to which a number of local legends became attached. The story of Medea, in particular, caught the imagination of the tragic poets. Of Atreus and Theban cycle. In between the Argo and the Trojan War, there was a generation known chiefly for its horrific crimes. And this includes the doings of Atreus and Thyestes at Argos. Behind the myth of the House of Atreus, one of the two principal heroic dynasties with the House of Labdacus, lies the problem of the devolution of power and of the mode of accession to sovereignty. The twins Atreus and Thyestes, with their descendants, played the leading role in the tragedy of the devolution of power in Mycenae. Associated especially with Cadmus, the city's founder, and later with the doings of Laius and Oedipus at Thebes, a series of stories that lead to the eventual pillage of that city at the hands of the Seven against Thebes and Epigone. It is not known whether the Seven against Thebes figured in early epic. As far as Oedipus is concerned, early epic accounts seem to have him continuing to rule at Thebes after the revelation that Iocaste was his mother, and subsequently marrying a second wife who becomes the mother of his children. Markedly different from the tale known to us through tragedy, and later mythological accounts. The chief stories have already taken shape and substance, and individual themes were elaborated later, especially in Greek drama. The Trojan War also elicited great interest in the Roman culture because of the story of Aeneas, a Trojan hero whose journey from Troy led to the founding of the city that would one day become Rome, as recounted in Virgil's Aeneid. Book 2 of Virgil's Aeneid contains the best known account of the sack of Troy. Finally, there are two pseudo-chronicles written in Latin that passed under the names of Dictes Cretensis and Dares Phrygius. Trojan War Cycle, a collection of epic poems, starts with the events leading up to the war. Eris and the Golden Apple of Calliste, the judgment of Paris, the abduction of Helen, the sacrifice of Iphigenia at Aulis to recover Helen. The Greeks launched a great expedition under the overall command of Menelaus' brother Agamemnon, king of Argos or Mycenae. But the Trojans refused to return Helen. The Iliad, which is set in the 10th year of the war, tells of a quarrel between Agamemnon and Achilles, who was the finest Greek warrior, and the consequent deaths in the battle of Achilles' beloved comrade Patroclus and Priam's eldest son Hector. After Hector's death, the Trojans were joined by two exotic allies, Penthesilea, queen of the Amazons, and Memnon, king of the Ethiopians and son of the dawn goddess Eos. Achilles killed both of these, but Paris then managed to kill Achilles with an arrow in the heel. Achilles' heel was the only part of his body which was not invulnerable to damage by human weaponry. Before they could take Troy, the Greeks had to steal from the citadel the wooden image of Pallas Athena, the Palladium. Finally, with Athena's help, they built the Trojan horse. Despite the warnings of Priam's daughter Cassandra, the Trojans were persuaded by Sinon, a Greek who feigned desertion, to take the horse inside the walls of Troy as an offering to Athena. The priest Laocoon, who tried to have the horse destroyed, was killed by sea serpents. At night, the Greek fleet returned, and the Greeks from the horse opened the gates of Troy. In the total sack that followed, Priam and his remaining sons were slaughtered. The Trojan women passed into slavery in various cities of Greece. The adventurous homeward voyages of the Greek leaders, including the wanderings of Odysseus and Aeneas, and the murder of Agamemnon, were told in two epics, The Returns and Homer's Odyssey. The Trojan cycle also includes the adventures of the children of the Trojan generation, Orestes and Telemachus. The Trojan War provided a variety of themes and became a main source of inspiration for ancient Greek artists. For example, Metopes on the Parthenon, depicting the sack of Troy. This artistic preference for themes deriving from the Trojan cycle indicates its importance to the Greek civilization. The same mythological cycle also inspired a series of posterior European literary writings. For instance, the Trojan medieval European writers, unacquainted with Homer at first hand, found in the Troy legend a rich source of heroic and romantic storytelling, and a convenient framework into which to fit their own courtly and chivalric ideals. Century authors such as Benoît de Saint-Maurey and Joseph of Exeter describe the war while rewriting the standard version they found in Dictys and Dares. They thus follow Horace's advice and Virgil's example. They rewrite a poem of Troy instead of telling something completely new. The sweetest of dreams.